Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 10 February, 2026. Zachariah.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to Zechariah chapter 5. Zechariah 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Father, for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Israel, My Glory, the January-February issue, an excellent article here by Chris Katulka. It's entitled, Even Hitler Knew When the War Was Lost. Before taking his own life on April 30th, 1945, Adolf Hitler appointed Admiral Karl Dönitz, commander of Germany's U-boat fleet, as his successor. Hitler knew that World War II was lost, and betrayal among his leadership surrounded him. He turned to Dönitz, a man he regarded as disciplined, loyal, and untainted by the corruption of the Nazi inner circle, to defend what remained of the collapsing Reich. Instead, when Hitler died, Dönitz accepted reality. The Nazis were beaten. The Allies were closing in from east and west. Berlin had fallen. The German army was crushed, and the people were starving. The only rational act left was to save lives, especially those of soldiers and civilians fleeing the Soviets' advance. Dönitz formed a caretaker administration focused solely on survival. It lacked the venomous ideology and iron grip of the Nazi regime. And days later, Dönitz's envoys signed Germany's unconditional surrender, and the Third Reich was officially dead. Unlike his predecessor, Danitz did not cling to delusions of victory or fantasies of a thousand-year Reich. His aim was pragmatic. Stop the killing. End the madness. And allow a defeated nation to survive. History, however, has a way of repeating itself. 8 decades later, another Jew-hating ideology faces collapse. I'm writing these words the day after President Donald Trump signed a peace agreement in Egypt with leaders from Qatar, Egypt, and Turkey, aimed at ending the war in Gaza. The 20-point plan requires Hamas to return all remaining hostages, alive and dead, and to relinquish its control over Gaza. Hamas now faces realities its leaders refuse to admit. It is surrounded by Israeli forces. Key leaders have been killed. Regional backers like Hezbollah, the Houthis, and Iran are battered and constrained. And the Arab nations have agreed to the deal that supports its demise. But instead of standing down, Hamas is digging in, confusing stubbornness for strength. Rather than relinquishing power, it is consolidating it. Hamas seems determined to preserve its political and military grip on Gaza, perpetuating an ideology of hatred and martyrdom. Danitz recognized the futility of further bloodshed, and he chose surrender over slaughter. By contrast, Hamas persists in a cult of death, unable to distinguish resistance from self-destruction. Hitler's death marked the end of the Third Reich and unraveled his poisonous worldview. As German citizens learned of the Holocaust atrocities, many of the German people were horrified and ashamed. By the 1960s, a new generation had rejected Nazism altogether, denouncing it as a moral evil. The Allies reinforced that rejection by rebuilding Germany on principles of democracy and free speech and human rights. Holocaust remembrance and repentance became part of Germany's national identity. However, Hamas clings to its ideology with fanatical resolve. It continues murdering fellow Gazans that it brands as collaborators with Israel. and indoctrinating its children with hatred toward the nation and the Jewish people, twisting its defeat into a false narrative of victory. Even Hitler knew he had lost the war. Danish knew enough to end it. Hamas, tragically, knows neither. The peace deal offers Gaza an opportunity to begin again, to rebuild, to live, to hope. But as long as Hamas clings to violence, the cycle of destruction will persist. For the sake of Israelis seeking security and Palestinians dreaming of dignity, I pray that this peace plan brings a measure of stability to the region. However, I am very skeptical about human peace accords. I remain hopeful in Jesus Christ, whose kingdom alone, the millennial kingdom, when he returns and establishes his kingdom on earth, alone will bring lasting, eternal peace to Israel, its neighbors, and to the world. As the prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 2:4, he shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. Until that day comes, we pray for the Prince of Peace himself to come quickly, establish his kingdom, and reign forever. Well, a lot of these things that he presents there, we are going to study in great detail in Zechariah. We're in Zechariah chapter 5. There's only 14 chapters. We're practically done, I imagine, by the end of the month. I don't think so. We've studied the first five visions of Zechariah in chapters 1 through 4, and we're now in the middle of chapter 5, where we have vision 6 and vision 7. We have the flying scroll in chapter 5, 1 to 4, and we have the flying ephah in chapter 5, 5 through 11. So everything's flying in this chapter. And then in chapter 6, 1 through 8, we have the final vision, vision number 8, the four chariots. Zechariah's first five visions that we studied greatly encouraged and comforted the Jewish remnant returning from Persia and Babylon. They revealed that the Lord would return to Jerusalem with mercy, give Israel victory over its enemies. The Lord Jesus Christ himself would be the wall of fire of protection, reestablish and enlarge Jerusalem, purify and reinstate Israel's high priest, Joshua, and remove the mountain of opposition that had stopped the rebuilding of the temple. And he assured the completion of the temple. That was the first five visions. Now we're in the last three visions. And in the last three visions, vision number 6, 7, and 8, everything takes an abrupt turn. Instead of foretelling blessing, they are a stern warning against degeneracy, reversionism, evil, and present a curse of judgment from the Lord. Before Israel could experience the blessings, the land had to be purged from individual and national degeneracy and reversionism. We completed the exegesis of Zechariah 5:1-4, the flying scroll, and it sounds like this. Then I turned once again and raised my eyes and looked, and behold, I saw a flying scroll. And he, the teaching angel, said to me, Zechariah, what do you see? So I answered, I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits, 30 feet long, and its width is 10 cubits, 15 feet wide. Verse 3, then he, the teaching angel, said to me, Zechariah, this is the curse, divine judgment, that is going out over the face of the whole earth. Because, according to what it says on one side of the flying scroll, everyone who steals, the criminal, will be banished and purged out. And according to what it says on the other side, everyone who swears falsely will be banished and purged out. Verse 4. Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, declares, I am caused to send out a curse, divine judgment, and it will enter the house of the criminal, and into the house of the one who swears falsely by my name, and the curse, the divine judgment, will remain in the midst of his house and destroy it, both its timbers and its stone. And we studied that and summarized that in detail. That was the flying scroll. Now that brings us to vision number 7. Zechariah 5:5-11, the flying ephah. We exegeted verse 5. It sounds like this. Then the angel, the teaching angel who was talking to me, Zechariah, came forward and he said to me, now look up and see what this is that's going forth. And what's going forth is a flying ephah. It's not something you see every day, a flying ephah. If you have, don't tell anybody. The word going forth is the Hebrew verb yatsah, and it tells us that something is flying. In the 6th vision, we had the flying scroll, and now in the 7th vision, we have the flying ephah. In verse 5, the teaching angel commands Zechariah to look up and identify something. And Zechariah saw the vision, but he didn't understand what he saw. So now in verses 6-11, the teaching angel will explain this vision to Zechariah. In verse 6, and I asked, what is it? And he, the teaching angel, replied, this is the ephah that is going forth or flying. And then we pulled some summary on that. In the 7th vision, we have a near fulfillment in Zechariah's day and a far fulfillment in the tribulation. The ephah was a 7.5 gallon bucket. It was a dry measure for grain. This is the largest grain measure in existence. The Jews cornered the grain market in Babylon. They sold their grain on the basis of the 7.5 gallon ephah, which the Babylonians did not have, but the Jews did. The ephah represents part of the Jewish wealth in Babylon. They were very, very wealthy. They were making lots of money. The Mesopotamian Valley was farming country. These Jews are making a lot of money, but they are being warned by Zechariah, get out of Babylon and come back to Israel. The warning from Zechariah is get back to Jerusalem. Get back to the temple. Get back to the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, who dwells in the Holy of Holies of the temple. Get your priorities straightened out. God and His Word have to be number one in priorities. Not the details of life, not money. All your money and wealth will do you absolutely no good. The details of life that you buy with your money will do you no good. It's going to come to a screeching halt. The Jews had cornered the grain market in Babylon, and they're making lots and lots of money. And the ephah represents great monetary success of the Jews. But the ephah represents something else also. It represents great iniquity, reversionism, evil. And we're going to see that because there is something inside the ephah. You don't find this a lot. A woman inside the bucket. Hard to find a bucket that big to get a woman in there. This woman is pure, unadulterated, evil, satanic evil. And she's inside this ephah. So verse 6, and I asked, what is it? And he, the teaching angel, replied, this is the ephah that is flying, going forth. Moreover, he added, this is their eye. Now the word here is ayin, the Hebrew word for eye. This is their eye, and ayin is used here for their appearance. Specifically, this demonstrates their iniquity, their reversionism. This is the reversionism of the people throughout the earth. All right, well, we exegeted that, but we didn't pull it together. One, the ephah becomes the symbol of evil and reversionism. The ephah becomes the symbol of evil and reversionism of the Jews scattered throughout the earth. Two, in other words, they are out to make money any way they can, legitimately or illegitimately. It doesn't make any difference. This is the woman represents religion, ecumenical religious system, and also the woman represents the evil of commercialism in the tribulation. The greatest systems of evil of the ecumenical religious system and the evil of commercialism associated with the prostitute of Revelation chapter 17 and Revelation chapter 18. So this is prophetical, looking down in the tribulation, Revelation 17, Revelation 18, and the woman is the prostitute of the tribulation. The prostitute who in the first half of the tribulation, she's riding the Antichrist, the beast. And the Antichrist, the beast, uses this ecumenical religious system to become the ruler of planet Earth. He becomes the ruler of planet Earth. But once he becomes the ruler of planet Earth, and then he nukes this ecumenical religious system, and the whole world starts bawling and crying over the prostitutes have been nuked, because that was where they were making lots of, through evil, commercialism through evil, satanic evil, and it's gone. Well, that's all included here in this far fulfillment of what we have here. The woman is evil, 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 religious evil, commercial evil. So the ephah becomes the symbol of reversionism and evil of the Jews scattered throughout the earth, too. In other words, they are out to make money any way they can, legitimately or illegitimately. Three, the living and true God is not the number one priority of their life. A living and true God is not the number one priority of their life. Four, money, the details of life, religious idolatry, the evil of commercialism, every category of iniquity and reversionism has become their life. Throughout the entire earth. Money, the details of life, religious idolatry, every category of iniquity and reversionism has become their life throughout the earth. So that's verse 6, and I ask, what is it? And he, the teaching angel, replied, this is the ephah that is flying. Moreover, he added, this is their eye, their appearance, the reversionism, the iniquity of the people throughout the earth. So, verse 7, King James says, and behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. This is the conjunction vav, prefixed to the demonstrative particle hine, plus the noun kikar, plus the noun oferet, plus the niphal participle of the verb nasa. The vav is a transitional vav. It may be translated and, moreover, now, or then. We'll translate it and. And then we have a demonstrative we've seen many times, hine. H-I-N-N-E-H. Hine. And hine has the meaning either lo or behold. This is really putting the spotlight on what God, the Holy Spirit, is trying to say here in His inspiration ministry. Lo, behold! And then we have Ophiret. And this is an Aramaic loan word. And there's another reason why you, if you have the gift of pastor teacher, you need to prepare for the ministry. And as I'll admit, it's very hard today because the seminaries throughout this country are dead. Dead, 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 dead. And the only one I know of that is doing anything by way of preparing men and learning the languages is Chafer Seminary, which is now in Albuquerque, New Mexico. That's the only one I know. But when I was at Dallas Seminary, I majored in Hebrew and took Aramaic, and then I was in with my doctor one day, and I said, I went to Dallas Seminary. I majored in Hebrew and I also study Aramaic. He says, you didn't study Latin? Well, he's Catholic, see. I said, no. I said, I studied Latin in junior high school and high school, but I didn't study Latin in the seminary. Studied, majored in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Whoa. Why? I said, that's what the Bible's written. What part of the Bible's in Aramaic? I go, Daniel. Oh, well. He almost quit asking me questions like that anymore. But he, you know, he comes from a strong Catholic background. He is a believer. I've given him the grace gospel. I gave his father the grace gospel again and again and again. And his father is in heaven, guaranteed. Dr. Ruggieroli Sr., he is in heaven. And Dr. Ruggieroli Jr., he will be in heaven too. And I pray for him that he will seek out a sound Bible teaching church, and he just doesn't have any doctrine. He gets on the internet and tries to find out things going on the internet, and that's about the worst thing he can do. But I keep praying that he'll find a sound doctrinal church. And I've given him class. I gave him the Psalm 23 that you're giving the ladies over at Las Ventanas. I gave him the Psalm 23 class. I gave it on an MP3 disc. And then I gave it one time. The next time I went in, he goes, Pastor Olson, there are 52 classes on that. I was thinking one. I said, well, that's because going into great detail so you understand and benefit exactly what's being said. They're not just reading a verse and teaching it for one class. I said, yeah. And it's so, whew, 52, or 50, I don't know if it's 52 or 54. Whoa, mom, mama. So we have then this is a woman. And behold, a lead cover was lifted up. Nasa, lift up, to carry, to take. In the Nephilim stem, which is what we have, it means to be lifted up. And behold, a lead cover was lifted up. And this is a... I wonder where that went. Okay, I moved it over here. Okay. All right. I gave you the Aramaic word, told you about it, and then I moved it over here, and I got it to the next page. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Father. Okay. Ophiret. 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 Aramaic loan word. And this is the Aramaic word for lead. Lead. And then we have lead, ophiret, and then the noun kikar. K-I-K-K-A-R. Kikar. And kikar literally is a round. It can be a loaf of bread, or it can be a round weight, a serving as a cover, like a lead cover. And that's how it's used here. So, and behold, an ophiret, a lead cover. And behold, a lead cover. And then we have nasa, which means to lift, to carry, to take. Niphal stem, which is what we have, means to be lifted up. And behold, a lead cover was lifted up. And then we have in the King James, and this, when they lifted up the lead cover, there was something in there, and it was a woman. And this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. So we have the conjunction vav prefix to the demonstrative pronoun zeh, plus the noun isha, plus the catalactic participle of the verb yashav, plus the adverb acher, plus the preposition beth prefix to the noun tok, and plus the noun ephah with a definite article. So we have vazoth. And vazoth is, and this, the teaching angel is saying, and this, and the teaching angel is putting the spotlight on the Isha. Aleph, I-S-H-A-H, Isha. And this, and Isha is the word woman. This, a woman. Catalactic participle of the verb yashav. Y-A-S-H-A-B, yashav. Catalactic participle of yashav. Yashav means to sit. Catalactic participle, sitting. She's sitting. This woman is sitting. And then batok. And this is the preposition bath prefixed to the noun tok. Bishuva, that's in. T. Okay, batok, and batok means literally in the middle of or inside the ephah, the ephah. And behold, a lead cover was lifted up, and this is a woman sitting inside the ephah. And behold, the lead cover was lifted up, and this is a woman sitting inside the ephah. All right. One. The lead cover on the ephah is very important. To make sure that the woman cannot get out of the ephah until it's the right time. To make sure it doesn't get out of the ephah today. So the lead cover on the ephah is very, very important to make sure this woman cannot get out of the ephah until it's the right time. Two, the woman is evil personified. Satanic evil personified. She represents religious evil, satanic religious evil and satanic commercial evil. Three, first of all, she represents the prostitute of Babylon. She represents the prostitute of Babylon. And this is religious evil. The religious evil of the woman is seen in Revelation chapter 17. So turn over to Revelation chapter 17. See, it's not the right time now. That's why there's a lead cover on it. But there will be the right time. And that right time is after the rapture, the removal of the royal family of God. That's when the Antichrist will come on the scene. Not until then. If the rapture's close, he's living somewhere. But nobody will know who he is until after the rapture. Because right now we have the restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit. But when the rapture takes place, the restraining ministry of the Spirit is over. And now there will be the next 7 years of the most horrible and vicious evil the world has ever seen, including religious evil. Revelation 17, verse 1. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute." And the great prostitute is ecumenical religious system of evil who sits on many waters. Now, when I finish at first six verses, we'll go over in verse 15 through 18 and see exactly what the many waters refers to. Who sits on many waters. This woman, this prostitute, this religious evil system sits on many waters with her, the kings of the earth. The kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries. And then the angel carried me away in the spirit into a desert. And there I saw a woman, the ecumenical religious system, sitting on a scarlet beast, that's the Antichrist, that was covered with blasphemous names and had seven heads and ten horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet, and was glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. She had a golden cup in her hand, filled with abominable things, and the filth of her adulteries. And this title was written on her forehead, Musterion, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. And when I saw her, I was greatly astonished. Now let's go over and see who the waters are. Revelation 17, verse 15. Then the angel said to me, "The waters that you saw where the prostitute sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages all over planet Earth. The beast, the Antichrist, and the ten horns, the revived Roman Empire, he's ruling planet Earth, you saw, will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. She'll be nuked. For God has put it into their hearts to accomplish his purpose by agreeing to give the beast, the Antichrist, their power to rule until God's words are fulfilled. The woman, the ecumenical religious system you saw, is the great city that rules over the kings of the earth. So this woman is evil personified. First of all, she represents the prostitute of Babylon, the ecumenical religious system of the tribulation period. 4. She is the mistress of iniquity, wickedness, in 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 12. So let's turn over to 2 Thessalonians 2. She is the mistress of wickedness or iniquity in 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 12. Second Thessalonians 2, verse 7. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back, that's the restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Right now we're functioning under the restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit. So the secret power of lawlessness that is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to restrain, to continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. And when is that? At the rapture. The rapture, the restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit is over, taken out of the way. And then, not until then, but after the rapture, then the lawless one will be revealed. Then we will see who the Antichrist is. Then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming, the second advent of Christ. Revelation 19, 11 following. The coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds. See, the Antichrist is Satan's man. Satan's man. The whole world will worship Satan through the Antichrist. This is Satan's man, the Antichrist. The coming of the lawlessness will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles and signs and wonders. Verse 10, and in every category of evil that deceives those who are perishing, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. And for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness or reversionism. 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 12. So she this woman is evil personified. She represents the prostitute of Babylon, Revelation 17, 1 to 6 and 15 to 18. She is the mistress of wickedness and iniquity in 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 12. 5, she is the ecumenical religious system that will exist in the tribulation. Ecumenical religious system. It's being formed right now all over the world, this ecumenical religious system. She is the ecumenical religious system that will exist in the tribulation. 6. In the church age, there is a restraint, and that restraint is the restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit, and He keeps the lead cover on the ephah. In the church age, there is a restraint, and that is the restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit, and He keeps the lead cover on the ephah. Seven, but in the tribulation, following the rapture, that's the beginning of the 7-year tribulation, the restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit, over. So, in the tribulation, the lead cover will be removed and the woman will come out. In the tribulation, the lead cover will be removed and the woman will come out. 8. The woman in the great ecumenical, religious, and evil system, the woman is the great ecumenical, religious, and evil system of the tribulation. The woman is the great ecumenical, religious, and evil system of the tribulation. And 9, the woman also represents evil commercialism carried on all over the world in all the nations, all the languages, all the peoples on planet Earth. They're all totally involved with the prostitute because they're making money. Ten. The people of the world are out to make money any way they can. And this evil prostitute has a commercial system of commercialism of evil for them to do that. The people of the world are out to make money any way they can, and they follow the prostitute and her evil of commercialism. The spirit of secularism with a desire for material gain. The spirit of secularism with the desire for material gain. 11. The woman is drunk with the blood of the saints. So this ecumenical religious system is out to destroy Christians from the face of the earth. The woman, this ecumenical religious system, is drunk with the blood of saints, and she has an objective to kill all Christians over the face of the earth. The blood of those who bear testimony to Jesus, Revelation 17, verse 6. So this is a very powerful section we're in here. So verse 7 says, "And behold, a lead cover was lifted up, and this is a woman sitting inside the ephah." And then verse 8, "And he said, this is wickedness." That's the King James Version. This is the conjunction vav prefixed to the cal imperfect of amer, plus the demonstrative pronoun zeh, plus the noun rish'ah with the definite article. The vav is the transitional vav. It may be translated and, moreover, now, or then. We will translate it then. It's also a conversive vav, converting the imperfect of amer into a perfect. The teaching angel is now adding to his explanation of the vision. So amer with vav is correctly translated. Then he said, and then we have the demonstrative pronoun zeh. Z-E-H, zeh. This is risha. This is risha. R-I-S-H-I-N-A-H. Risha. And, a couple things. One, risha literally means wickedness. The only thing some of you know about wicked is you drink it, called wicked ale. That's about all you know about it. So wickedness doesn't really communicate. Two, risha is used in three different categories. Category number one, dishonest business practice, wickedness in business. Dishonest business practice, wickedness in business, or just reversionism in business. Category number two, the reversionism of enemies, the Antichrist. He's also in Revelation called the beast or the Antichrist. So category number two, reversionism of enemies, the Antichrist. And category number three, reversionism in religion, the prostitute, ecumenical religious system of the tribulation. So this risha, wickedness, reversionism, is in three different categories. Dishonest business practice, reversionism in business, category number two, wickedness of enemies, the Antichrist, and category number three, the reversionism of religion, the prostitute, ecumenical religious system of the tribulation. Three, the woman in the ephah is the personification of wickedness, the personification of evil and reversionism. The woman in the ephah is the personification of wickedness, the personification of evil and reversionism that will be manifested throughout the earth in the tribulation. So the woman in the ephah is the personification of evil, reversionism, that will be manifested throughout the earth in the tribulation. So the corrected translation, then he said, this is wickedness. This is the epitome of evil and reversionism. And we'll stop there and pick it up there next week, all right? Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. Thank you for the absolute truth of your word and the privilege we have of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become the source of great confidence in our life to know you and to live our life by your grace and your power. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.